You're listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.
Before Brent reads the scripture for us this morning, I'm going to offer a few words of introduction. Thanks to our bell choir, that was beautiful. The scripture we're going to hear this morning was written by the Apostle Paul. In the early days of the church, Paul and others traveled around the Mediterranean region, and they shared the story of Jesus, and they planted different churches. And Paul had commissioned one of his good friends, Timothy, to travel and to plant churches in far-flung regions. And the scripture we're going to hear this morning is the beginning of the second letter that we have on record that Paul writes to Timothy. And it's a note intended to encourage, to inspire, to remind Timothy why he was called to the hard work that he was doing. And it was hard work he was doing. With all that in mind, let's hear now as Brent reads to us from our scripture.
As Pastor Megan said, the scripture lesson comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to be a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, the one who redeems us and offers us a firm foundation. Amen. I want you to think of a time when you were able to help someone. Maybe it was on a mission trip. Maybe it was helping a neighbor clean up their lawn. Maybe it was teaching somebody a new skill. Can you think of that time? Probably you can think of more than one time. What did it feel like to help somebody? To know that you were able to do something good for somebody else? Do you remember that feeling? Well, now I want you to think of a time when you received help. For many of us, that's a slightly less comfortable place to be in. We love the idea that we can be a blessing to others. We want to help. We feel good about helping, but when someone comes to us and says, "I think you need some help," sometimes we get a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit resistant. Many of us feel distinctly unsettled when we find ourselves in need of assistance, and it doesn't really matter what kind of assistance we're talking about, whether it's the physical assistance of getting from one place to another, financial assistance, emotional assistance, spiritual assistance. Many of us are simply not good at accepting support. Perhaps it's a Holy Spirit thing that Pastor Rochelle mentioned asking for help this morning, too. That's a message. Somebody out there, accept the help. Accepting help is really a foundational idea in our faith, and in fact, we have another term for accepting help in the Christian tradition. We call it grace. We call it grace, an unmerited gift that we receive. Our scripture this morning is from the beginning of an inspirational letter that Paul wrote to his friend Timothy as he's out there doing difficult work of sharing the news about Jesus and trying to start new churches and trying to get people excited. Paul tends to make really linear arguments in scripture. This, then this, then this, then this, and today's scripture is no exception. Paul writes, "I'm reminding you to revive God's gift within yourself because God didn't give us a spirit that was timid or afraid, but instead gave us a spirit that's powerful and loving and capable of self-control." And he goes on, he says, "Well, therefore, we don't need to be ashamed. We can depend on God's power. implying we don't need to depend on our own power all the time. God is the one who's calling us to our work, and it's not based on what we have done or what we're able to do. It's based on the grace of Jesus Christ. All of us, like Timothy, are called to revive the gifts that God has given to us and put them to use, share them for the good of those around us. And the reason we do this, the reason we help other people, is because we know what it is to receive help. We know what it is to have received assistance. We've received God's grace, and that's worth celebrating. We can claim until we're blue in the face that we don't want to depend on anybody else and we can do it all by ourselves, but as Christians, fundamentally, our faith, our message, our identity is those who have received grace, those who have relied on God, those who have said, in fact, I can't do it as a solo act. I believe in something larger than myself, a creator larger than myself. We are people who acknowledge that we need God and that God offers us wisdom and love far beyond what we could create for ourselves. And that's the spirit I believe that we use to approach helping others. It's a humble spirit. It's one that says, whatever I'm able to do that's good for somebody else, it's only because God already did something good in my life. That's why I can do good, because God first did good for me. As Christians, we're people who say, I know what it is to receive grace, and now I'm called to extend that grace forward, to share it with other people, to do good because I've had this good thing happen. There will be a lot of opportunities this summer to help, to do good, to sign up, to extend the grace. And it doesn't matter whether it's volunteering as an adult leader at VBS, Vacation Bible School, or signing up to volunteer with Love in Action with one of those many projects that Jeff mentioned to us earlier, painting a piece in the art installation if you come back at noon. It doesn't matter the way that we do it. Our calling is to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ. I know there will be opportunities to sow this summer. It doesn't matter how we do it. We don't do it because we're all that, or because we have all the answers, or because we're somehow better than anybody else. That's really not what it's about. We serve others, and we help others, and we work alongside others because we start from that place of having received assistance, having received grace ourselves. I've been part of a lot of mission trips over the years, and some of them have been week-long trips, like going to places like Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or Red Lake Mission in Minnesota. Other service projects I've been part of have been more short-term, where you take a day and you go to Cass Community Social Services in Detroit, or you work with Habitat for Humanity. I'm sure you all have done things like that. You've participated in Adult Righteous Mission in the past, now Love in Action. You've done things like this, probably. And as I think back on all the trips and service opportunities I've been a part of, I remember a lot of time spent hammering, which is something I am terrible at. I really should never have a hammer in my hand. I remember a lot of time painting and sawing and building things. But more than the staircases that I was a part of building, or the roofs that I was part of putting on a house, or the walls that I got to help paint, the thing that I remember from those trips is the people that I worked alongside. One of my favorite people to go on mission trips with was my youth director. Her name was Beth when I was in high school. And I remember any time you took a mission trip with Beth, well, you'd do all the work for the day, and you'd do the measuring and the sawing and the hammering and whatever it was, and you'd come home and you'd be exhausted. You'd come back to your home base. Usually it was the floor of a church somewhere. And when all the hard physical work was over, she'd simply talk with us. And I was a high schooler at the time. We were all in high school, and she would tell us stories from her life. She'd talk to us about times that she struggled and persevered. And she told us a lot of things that high school girls need to hear, I think. She told us it's important to nourish your body rather than striving to attain some image of beauty. She told us it's okay to be the friend who doesn't do what everybody else is doing. She told us we didn't need to laugh if somebody made an off-color joke. If somebody made a joke that was racist or sexist or homophobic, we didn't owe anybody a laugh. We didn't have to laugh. That was a powerful message for a high school student. She told us, high school girls, that we were strong, that we were powerful. She taught us that we were loved by God just as we were. This is all in the context of a mission trip. A mission trip with Beth was never just about the hammers and the nails. It was about life lessons. It was about helping everyone who was on that trip, everyone that she came into contact with, to feel loved, to feel accepted, with the hope that in turn we would go on to reflect that love and acceptance to others that we would meet. Many years later, I remember going on a mission trip with one of my church members at the time named Andy. And Andy loved to crack jokes, and he also loved to pray for everybody with great enthusiasm. He couldn't do a lot of the manual physical labor that other people on the trip could do, but he had some physical limitations. And we were on a job site that summer, I remember, that required most of us to be climbing up and down ladders. We had 5-6 ladders on the job site, and he couldn't do that. It wasn't something that would have been safe for him. But he hammered and he painted in the places that he could, and he kept everybody's spirits up with his positivity, with his jokes, with his prayers, with his comments that he would make. He was somebody, like I know some of you, who had to take vacation time to go on the mission trip. It was a big deal. He didn't get that much vacation, and he would take a week to go and serve. And it made a difference, not only to the people that we helped, the people that we served through our work, but it made a difference to the entire team to have him there, to have his positivity there, to have his prayerfulness there. Andy, in particular, was always passionate about helping people, and he was always passionate about Jesus. And the way he would talk about it is he would say, I'm passionate about Jesus because Jesus has done so much for me. Andy struggled with addiction to alcohol when he was younger, and he was very public with his story. He preached on it a number of times at the church where I served. He would tell anybody who would listen. And he would tell people, for him, it was his faith that helped him recognize his addiction and choose to get help. And it was his faith that kept him going to meetings, and it was his faith that kept him choosing day after day after day to live a positive life and to make that change so that he could have the things that he had, so he could do the things that he did, so his family could be healthy and strong. And he would tell you, if he were here today, that it was the grace of God that turned his life around. There was no reason for it based on what he did. It was God's grace that helped unlock within him the possibility of doing something more. And for him, God directly intervened in his life, and he chose to pay it forward in whatever way he could, and one of those ways was going on a mission trip. I know you've served alongside people like Beth and like Andy. I know you've served alongside the kind of people who uplift your spirit in the midst of whatever activity it is that you might be doing. People who remind you of why your faith matters, why service matters, why you'd give up a week of your time and your energy to go and hammer some nails and use some paintbrushes. I know you've served along these kinds of people who affirm who you are and affirm why you're a Christian. In fact, many of you are these kinds of people for others in your midst. We're all called to do this kind of work, like Beth and like Andy, and each in our own way, in our own style, with our own unique story, always remembering that a job or a mission trip is never just about the checklist. It's never just about the tasks. It's about the people. It's about the grace. It's about the power of transformation that can happen in a life. When we serve, it's about the people that we're painting next to. It's about the people we take our lunch with or we carpool with. It's people that we're serving alongside. It's about the people who are able to help us do the work that we're doing and the people that we might be able to help with our unique spirit and story. So the goal this summer, as you look at all the opportunities that are going to come up in the e-news, whether it's Love in Action Week or volunteering at VBS or any other number of opportunities, the goal isn't to sign up for something because we have to or out of a feeling of guilt or obligation or like you really need to do this. The goal is to sign up for something because we've received grace. Our lives have been changed. Something is different in us because we know God. And God calls us to pay it forward. God calls us to extend the grace. God calls us to share the love that we have encountered so that lives might be changed, so that the grace we've received can flow outward into the world. I invite you to consider serving this summer because it might just change your life or the life of somebody you meet. May it be so. Amen.
You've been listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.